Welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. This time, we're exploring realigning within the church and how it connects to building those deep relationships and community that we all crave.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking closely at this slide deck presentation that breaks down some fascinating insights.
Okay.
But before we get into that, let me start with a statistic that just blew my mind.
Okay.
Back in 2016, 2017, sociologists noticed Americans were dying younger.
Really?
And it wasn't from like a flu epidemic or anything, like what happened back in the 60s.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So what was it?
Well, that's the thing.
Right.
Researchers started digging deeper and found this surprising link to something we don't normally think of as a health hazard.
Okay.
Loneliness. Turns out chronic loneliness is more harmful to our health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Wow, that's really scary.
Yeah, you kind of look at those moments when you're scrolling social media. Instead of calling a friend a little bit differently after hearing that,
Definitely gives you pause.
Yeah. Like, we're surrounded by connection, but still feel so isolated.
It is a strange paradox, isn't it?
It is. And that's what this presentation calls out. Yeah. It even says we're the most physically connected and yet spiritually isolated people who have ever walked the earth.
That's a powerful statement.
It really is. Yeah. So the question is, how do we fight that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, the presentation actually points to the early Christian church as a model for community.
Interesting.
They were facing persecution and societal barriers, but still formed these really tight-knit communities.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Their faith wasn't just a set of beliefs.
Right.
It was a way of life.
Yeah.
They were deeply devoted to each other, putting each other first, and willing to sacrifice for the community.
Like way beyond the casual friendships we see so much today.
Exactly.
It was more like family, right?
Totally.
And the presentation uses Romans 12:9-13 as a guide for how they built such strong relationships.
That makes sense.
So let's break that passage down a bit.
Okay.
It starts with, let love be genuine. But what does that really mean?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Well, the Greek language has several words for love.
Okay.
And the one used here, agape, signifies a very specific type of love.
Okay.
It's not just a feeling or enjoying someone's company.
Right.
It's unconditional sacrificial love.
Wow.
It's putting others first, even when it's hard.
Yeah.
What's also interesting is that the word philostorgos is used here too.
Oh, okay.
It blends brotherly love with deep commitment.
Wow, that's a powerful combination.
Really is.
It sounds like a really active form of love.
Absolutely.
Not passive or just a feeling.
Yeah.
And the presentation highlights that early Christians didn't just talk about love.
Right.
They lived it out.
Yeah.
They were constantly serving, supporting, and creating a sense of belonging.
It makes you wonder what that looked like in practice, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, Romans 12:9-13 paints a picture of this.
Okay.
It talks about showing honor. Serving the Lord with enthusiasm.
Okay.
Being patient in affliction.
Yeah.
Persevering in prayer.
Okay.
Sharing with those in need.
Right.
And practicing hospitality.
You know, this biblical hospitality idea always intrigues me. I wonder if we really understand how deep it goes.
Yeah, it's definitely worth looking into.
Remember that example in Acts 2:42-46? The early believers were constantly together, sharing meals, encouraging each other, and celebrating life as a community.
Yeah.
It wasn't just opening your home, but opening your heart to create that space for connection and shared experience.
Exactly.
I can see how that radical love would have such a profound impact. Well, it did. The presentation quotes Tertullian, a Christian writer from the second century. He observed that people were amazed by how Christians treated each other.
Wow.
In a world of hate and violence, their love really stood out.
Yeah.
People would actually say, see how they love one another.
Imagine the power of that kind of witness.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
They understood that their love was a way to show Christ's love to the world.
Exactly. But here's where things get a little sobering.
Okay.
The presentation shows some statistics about the church today.
Okay.
Did you know 65 million Americans have left the church?
Wow, that's a lot.
And 1 in 3 Christians stopped attending church during the pandemic.
Wow, that led to so many church closures.
It did.
It makes you think.
It does.
Are we doing church in a way that fosters connection and spiritual growth?
It's a good question.
Are current models, whether that's gathering in a building or attending online, enough to build those deep relationships the early church had?
It's something to think about for sure.
Are we being challenged to rethink what it means to be the church?
In a way, yes.
Okay.
The presentation calls it a relational revolution,
uh-huh.
a return to the heart of following Christ together.
So it's less about attending a service and more about embodying a way of life.
Exactly.
And that way of life is all about genuine connection,
right.
selfless service,
yeah.
and a commitment to loving each other like Christ loved us.
That's it.
It's about moving beyond just showing up to being active and engaged in community.
That's the key. And the presentation actually lists a bunch of actions that demonstrate this love.
Like what?
Oh, counseling one another, forgiving each other, showing hospitality, welcoming, praying for each other, encouraging serving.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about shifting our mindset.
Absolutely.
It's not just about showing up on Sunday.
Right. But weaving these acts of love and service into our daily lives.
Totally. And that's where things get interesting.
Okay.
The presentation even addresses a potential counter-argument.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Some might say, why not just focus on studying the Bible?
Yeah.
Shouldn't knowledge be our priority?
Yeah. I can see how some people might think relationships are too touchy-feely.
Yeah.
So how does the presentation deal with that?
It acknowledges the importance of biblical knowledge, of course, but it argues that knowledge by itself isn't enough.
Okay.
It says what we desperately need is not so much more knowledge, but better relational skills as we follow Jesus in a new way of being human.
So it's not one or the other.
Right.
Both knowledge and relational skills are crucial.
Exactly.
It's like having all the ingredients for a meal.
Yeah.
But not knowing how to cook.
That's a great analogy.
You need both to create something nourishing. Well,
and just like any other skill,
relational
skills need practice.
They do.
But the traditional church model with its focus on services and sermons doesn't always give us the chance to practice that intentionally.
I agree.
So do we need to be more creative with community building in our churches?
That's a good question.
If going to a service once a week isn't enough, what else can we do?
Well, the presentation has some pretty bold ideas.
Like what?
One that stuck with me was this question.
Okay.
What if everyone at this church was connected in meaningful friendship with someone at this church?
That would totally change things.
Right?
No more feeling lost in the crowd or like just another face in the pews.
Imagine if everyone felt seen and known and loved.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing.
But how do we make that happen?
Yeah, it sounds great, but where do we start?
Right.
The presentation suggests a few things.
Okay.
Like focusing on one-on-one connections.
Oh, okay.
It could be simple things.
Yeah.
Like grabbing coffee with someone you don't know well or inviting someone over for dinner.
Right.
It's about moving past those surface-level interactions.
So simple but powerful.
Exactly.
It's about stepping out of our comfort zones and building those bridges.
What else did they suggest?
Oh, yeah.
They talk about small groups.
Mm-hmm.
They actually call them life groups.
Oh, interesting.
Because as they say, life is better together.
I like that.
Me too.
So small groups offer that more intimate setting for vulnerability, accountability, and genuine support.
Yeah.
They're like little versions of the larger church community where people can truly live out their faith.
It's true.
It's hard to build deep relationships in a crowd.
Definitely.
Small groups allow for those deeper connections and more chances to practice those relational skills.
Absolutely.
I love how the presentation connects this back to our relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
They ask, what if being friends with Jesus actually made us better friends with each other?
Now that's a powerful thought.
It is.
It's like our connection with Christ should be the source of our love for others.
Right.
It should shape how we treat everyone.
Not just those in our church.
Exactly.
But let's be real.
Yeah.
Not everyone in the church feels connected.
True.
So how does the presentation address that?
You're right.
That gap between the ideal and reality.
They acknowledge that creating this community takes work.
Yeah.
It means being proactive, stepping out of our comfort zones.
Right.
And being willing to invest time and energy in relationships.
It's a commitment.
It is.
And they point out how tragic it would be for someone to feel isolated within the church.
Absolutely.
That's a tough thought.
Yeah,
Someone could be attending every week, even volunteering, and still feel totally alone.
That's why it's so important to be aware of the needs of those around us.
Right.
We can't just assume everyone feels connected because they're there.
Exactly.
We have to create a culture of belonging where everyone feels seen and welcomed and valued.
So it's not just about avoiding a negative.
Yeah.
It's about embracing that privilege of living in Christian community.
And the presentation actually ends with a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yeah. I love Bonhoeffer.
He says, "It is simply not to be taken for granted that the Christian has the privilege of living among other Christians."
It reminds us not to take this gift for granted.
Right.
Especially now when isolation and loneliness are so common.
It's true.
This sense of belonging is precious.
It really is.
We need to nurture it and protect it.
Absolutely.
So it's a call to be intentional.
Right.
To invest in those relationships
yes.
and to create a church culture that reflects that love and connection that Christ showed us.
I couldn't agree more.
So what does this mean for our listeners?
Well, I think the first step is to think about your own experience in your church.
Okay.
Do you feel connected?
Mm-hmm.
Are there people you can really confide in?
Yeah.
People who will celebrate with you.
Right.
And support you.
Yeah.
Through tough times.
Yeah. It's a good question to ask ourselves.
Uh-huh.
If the answer is no, what can we do?
Yeah.
I mean, the presentation gave us some ideas for deeper connection.
Right.
Maybe that's a starting point.
Yeah.
But maybe there's something else, too.
Mm-hmm.
Something more fundamental that we're missing.
I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the how-to of relationships.
Right.
But maybe we need to step back and look at how we see church itself.
What do you mean?
Well, we often think of church as something we attend.
Okay.
We go to a service.
Yeah.
We do programs, check things off the list.
Right.
But what if instead of an event, church was a way of being?
Okay, so it's less about what we do on Sunday morning and more about how we live every day.
Yeah, like carrying that love connection and service with us everywhere.
Okay.
At work.
Yeah.
In our neighborhood, online.
Everywhere.
What if instead of, I need to go to church, it was, I need to be the church?
That's a big shift.
It is.
It's like that old saying,
yeah.
you are the church, you don't go to church.
Right.
But how do we actually do that?
Remember that quote from Tertullian?
About people seeing the Christian's love.
Exactly. They weren't just seeing it during services, but in everyday life.
So what if that was our focus?
Exactly.
How can we live out that community in a way that impacts everyone around us?
Even those outside the church.
That changes things.
It's
not just about relationships inside our church, but extending it outward.
To the world.
And it doesn't have to be this big, grand thing.
Not at all.
Like a simple compliment to a coworker.
Yeah.
Or helping an older neighbor. Or just listening to a friend.
It's the little things.
Those small acts of kindness can make a difference.
They really can.
We don't need a program or a platform.
Just be present.
Yeah.
Be intentional.
Let our love shine through.
And you know what?
What?
Maybe those ripples will lead others to say,
yeah,
see how they love one another.
Like back in Tertullian's time?
Exactly.
Now that's a legacy.
It is.
And it all starts with that simple idea.
Uh-huh.
Let love be genuine.
Yeah.
Let that be our mission.
Not just in the church.
But everywhere.
Everywhere we go.
And this journey of building connections and living out our faith.
Uh-huh.
It's a process.
It is.
It's not about reaching some perfect state.
Right.
But about constantly striving to love better.
Yeah.
To serve better.
Uh-huh.
And to connect better.
I think that's a great place to end it.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We hope this gave you some things to think about.
And hopefully even inspired you.
Yeah. To take a step.
However small.
Toward a more loving and connected world.
That's what it's all about.